Now down here somewhere, Facebook is meant to have their London HQ, and I've been invited in. Well, I think I was expecting a bigger sign, but if you just look through that window just there, you can see a television with Facebook written on it.
Sorry mate, you're not allowed to film.
Not allowed to film here? Now, as you just heard, a security guard told me I'm not allowed to film there. And this is one of the reasons why I'm here. I've been invited to Facebook's HQ to have a tour, but actually I think they're doing open source software here. And I think it's a bit of a secret. And I think I'm gonna get into trouble as I try to find out. So I'm gonna go in there to try to take the tour, but I wanna find out what open source software they're writing. Let's see what happens.
Okay, so my tour went well, and I have to say that the Facebook facilities there in London are pretty amazing.
The room names have themes.
Boating with boat face.
Putting the month first.
Yeah, the month first. Milk before water.
That's the worst.
The weather.
Here's the games room, which we are pleased to say is empty, which means the engineers are hard at work.
But I really wanted to find out about open source software, but I couldn't find out what I wanted to know. And I was constantly met by closed doors, shut out at every turn.
Can you tell me about open source software? I understand that you develop open source software.
Oh, sorry, I got to you.
Maybe these donuts can tell me about open source software.
Can I ask you a quick question about open source software at Facebook?
Oh, sorry, I really can't do it before I've had my face cut off.
Okay, I actually have to admit, I was actually specifically invited there to talk about open source software at Facebook. I thought it'd be a really interesting subject to see what a big corporation, one that is so well known, is actually doing in the open source community. So let's roll the interviews that I recorded.
Okay, well, thank you for inviting me here today. It's a pleasure to speak to you. Maybe you just quickly introduce yourselves and tell me a bit about what projects you work on.
Yeah, amazing. Great to have you here. I'm Pascal. I work on a team called UI Tools, and we build a bunch of internal tools. The biggest one of that is Flipper, which is also available in open source. It's a extensible mobile debugging platform.
Hi, I'm Michaela. My extended team is called Native UI Frameworks. I specifically work on Litho, which is an open source Android UI library.
Okay, that's great. Now, as a general question, what's Facebook's kind of stance on open source software? We've got two projects already. I know there's a third one we can talk about. That's a pretty good number for a big corporation. Is it encouraged? Is it something that they're into?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like whenever there is an internal project announced, so you see a post somewhere, like one of the first comments will always be like, oh, is this already open source? And if not, like, when will it be? So it's really ingrained into the culture here and very much encouraged. It's almost like a default, but before we open source anything, we always check, like, how much is this actually used internally? Are we sure we're going to stick with this kind of thing? Or is this more in a prototyping phase where we're actually still trying to figure out how much value this provides if we want to stick with this? Because what we try to avoid is just put something out there in the open and then abandon it because we don't actually use it anymore internally.
So the stagnation doesn't help at all with the...
Yeah, exactly. We always want to foster a community around the open source projects, and yeah, we can't do this if we don't derive any value from it internally anymore.
Well, that's a good philosophy. I like that. That's very good. So tell me then a bit about the project that you're involved in.
Yeah, so as I said, Flipper is an extensible mobile debugging platform. And what this really means is it's a tool. It runs on your desktop and you can connect this to mobile applications. So if you have like Facebook running on a phone and you want to debug this and want to figure out why something is rendered on screen, you can connect it to it, and then you can see, for instance, the layout tree. You can see what network requests were made. Internally, we also have plugins that allow you to inspect GraphQL, if you've heard this before. It's like our data transfer protocol, and can look into more of the request details there. It also allows you, and that's super important for us internally, when you have a layout tree, to look at particular attributes and views that are on your screen and edit them directly. So you can, for instance, like tweak the padding a bit, and you can do this instantaneously and don't have to go through the entire rebuilding cycle and installing the application again on your device.
And do you find that people are using it for other projects, or, you know, the open source project, are they using it on the outside?
Yeah, we've seen this. So I know that Twitter, for instance, is one of the adopters that we have. They even have internal plugins that they've developed to look into their like app-specific internals. And yeah, this is really cool to see.
Oh, that's great. And what language is it written in? What's the kind of the environment for that?
So yeah, the main application is an Electron-based one, so that means it's written in JavaScript, and we use Flow for type checking, but there are SDKs for Android and iOS as well. Those are then written in Java and Objective-C respectively, and we have React Native integrations too. There's a bit of a C++ core, so this also means we have a lot of different kind of experts for the areas in our team then. So
can I also add that after we had Flipper, it's massively improved the experience of the Litho users, which is the framework that I work on. I think it was built with Litho in mind from the beginning, because we initially had Stetho, which was a browser-based layout inspector tool, but it wasn't that well integrated with Litho, so we just made the experience of using Litho so much better after we had we added Flipper.
Excellent. And again, you're finding Flipper being used on the Litho being used by other people on the internet.
We've had really awesome contributions from the open source community. Some folks at YouTube are using it now. And actually, last year, one of the biggest improvements that we made to the framework was an external contribution, and it's made the framework so much better.
Excellent. And that's the essence of community development, I suppose, in that sense.
Yeah, exactly.
When external people are using it and then they're adding into it. And what kind of licenses are these under, these frameworks?
Litho is now under Apache 2 and Flipper is under MIT, I think.
Oh, that is a brilliant summary of what you're doing on your projects. Thank you both very much. Okay, now it's my pleasure to speak to Dino. Dino, thanks for speaking to me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So tell me a bit about the project that you work on.
Yes, I work on a project called Infer. Infer is an automatic tool that helps engineers to write better code. And in practice, it finds analyzed code and it finds possible errors. And so we can fix those errors before we ship our apps to our users.
Oh, wow, now that is an important tool. What languages does that support?
I support Java, I support C, C++, Objective-C. So we can actually analyze all sorts of software that we have inside Facebook.
And what kind of errors does it check for?
It checks different kind of errors, like, for example, null pointer exceptions, concurrency errors like data race, deadlocks, or resource leaks, all sorts of painful errors that can make an app crash or perform badly.
So, and also there's the security implications of that as
yes,
well.
Yes, there are security implications, for example, like null pointer exceptions sometimes, or buffer overflow can actually imply certain kind of security bugs. So it is better, of course, like to get rid of those as soon as possible.
And give me an idea of how it works. It would take the source code and analyze it, or it would compile and analyze the object files. How does it work?
Yes, so a bit of the two. So it takes the source code and then it compiles down to a special internal intermediate language that we have, and then this intermediate language is analyzed by the backend of the tool with special kind of analysis, and then the results are given back to the user, pointing to the source code, to the original source code.
Fantastic! That sounds like I wish I had one of those when I was doing software engineering, many, 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 many moons ago. So again, open source.
It is open source. We open sourced it 3 years ago, and it is used by many developers, many companies like Uber, Spotify, Amazon. And it is also used by the academic community, because actually this tool goes back to academic research. There is a very important research in the field of programming language that works on detecting this kind of bugs at compile time. And so many people in this field, they use Infer also for doing their own research, and so to do experiment and to contribute to the tool and with the new things they do in their research.
Fantastic. Well, that is absolutely brilliant. I'm going to have to check that out and see with how well it works. Yes. Well, that's really good. Thank you very much for your time today. Thank you.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed that. I must say the engineers that I met are really pretty special and they certainly know their stuff. For example, Dino there actually has a PhD. He also is a professor at Queen Mary's University of London, and actually he invented himself a lot of the techniques that are used inside of that Infer project, which, as I said, is open source. In fact, do check out all of those open source projects that were mentioned, and I'll leave links to them in the description below. Okay, my name is Gary Sims. This is Gary Explained. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. Don't forget to subscribe. Please ring that bell notification icon, and well, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.